Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 2. And out of the ground, in verse 9, made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. Out of the ground God made to grow every tree. Here's the thing, folks. The message is being changed even as I'm looking at the passage. Out of the ground is where the tree grows. Okay? Out of the ground is where the tree grows. I've got to remember that. Out of the ground. What happens to us believers is we don't tend the ground. We tend the tree. But you can't tend the tree. You've got to tend the ground. You see, if the ground is good, you'll get a healthy tree. But if the ground is not good, you'll get another tree. And it'll be a different sort of a tree. See, out of the ground God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, here's the thing. Whether it is for the believer the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil depends on the ground. The ground is the difference here. In practical application, the ground is the difference. See, in Matthew 13:23, the one that received seed on the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also beareth fruit and bring forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. But it's because the ground was good that there was a tree of life. You see, here's the problem with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And first of all, it's not the knowledge of the good and evil part. That's not the problem. The problem is in the nature of the knowledge. In the original language, it's talking about knowledge gained by the empirical senses. If I walk by sight, if I walk by the seeing of the eyes, the hearing of the ears, if I walk in natural understanding, it does far more than bring me to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil in my life is a result, not a cause. The cause is the ground. The result is the tree. If a believer lives at the tree of life, that believer becomes very fruitful. If a believer lives at the tree of life, that believer is a believer who is living in the finished work of Christ. The believer who knows what it means to have grace in his life. The believer who is not looking for outward performance but an inward transformation. Your outward performance is meaningless without an inward transformation. It's an act at best, and God looks at the heart. But out of the ground come the trees. So if I'm living in the tree of life, it's because the ground is good ground. And if I'm living in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it's because the ground is not right. How is the ground get changed? How is it that I till the ground, like break up your fallow ground? Isn't that what the Word of God says? Break up your fallow ground. How is it that I break up my fallow ground? Well, it's really kind of very simple. I sow to myself righteousness in Hosea 10:12, and I reap in mercy. What is it to sow righteousness? To sow righteousness is to sow the finished work. It's not that I sow a ascetic lifestyle. It's not that I sow performance in the flesh. It's that I sow the finished work in my life. It's that I sow the nature of God in my life. I don't have righteousness. I only have God's righteousness. I sow God's righteousness. I sow grace. I sow the finished work. I sow the compassion of God. I sow the love of God. I sow the Word of God. And I reap mercy. What is it telling me that if I've sown one thing and reaped mercy, what is it telling me? That that sowing is sowing in good ground. That is how I break up the fallow ground. Because right after he says that in Hosea, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. How does God rain righteousness upon me? The blood of Christ. God's righteousness is what cleanses me. God's righteousness is not what tells me to perform. God's righteousness is what makes me clean. God's righteousness is what makes me transformed on the inside. It's a tree of life. The believer who look at another believer or look at himself and say, this ought to be like so, maybe he's stating a fact that he's eating at the tree of knowledge. Let's say that I see someone in a failure. And I say, you're in a failure, it ought to be so, like so. Or maybe I don't even say it to him, because there is a place where I can come to somebody and sin. But let's say I recognize it and say to myself, they ought to be like so. Tree of life is not present there. That's the tree of knowledge. What do I do if I see a believer who's failing? If my heart isn't broken for that believer's capacity because of that failure, then I know nothing of the tree of life. But the tree of life will weep for that person, because it sees what they are doing to their own soul, and they don't know. And even if they know that it's sin, they don't know. They think that somehow they're going to get a benefit out of it, but they don't know. They don't realize, they don't believe perhaps that the wages of it is death. If my heart doesn't break for someone in failure, then I'm living it to the tree of knowledge. If I can say to a person, get your act together, then I'm living it the tree of knowledge. Because they have no more ability to get their act together than I do. Except they're less deceived, because they know their act isn't together and I think mine is. When God says in Romans chapter 2 that I've done the same things, plural, and I think I'm righteous because I can point at someone, that is the tree of knowledge. It's not them that tree kills. It's me. It's me. Sow in righteousness and reap in mercy. Sow the finished work. Bring the love of God to people, not in sentimentality, but in truth, is what it really is. A government of compassion. A government of mercy. A government where God says, I love you with an everlasting love in the midst of my worst failures. Break up your fallow ground. You see, it's all out of the ground. If it's a tree of knowledge or if it's a tree of life, the difference is the ground. The difference is the ground. What is in the ground? What has been sown into the ground? If life has been sown into the ground, then life will be the tree. But if knowledge, I know this and I know that, if that is sown to the ground, then there is no righteousness in it, there is death in it. That's the tree that killed. See, here's the problem where we believers get hung up. It's the good side. It's the good side. That's where we get hung up. It's the good side. How many people in the world are turned off by the good side? Even the world knows better. We come to the good side of the tree of knowledge, and the world calls us hypocrites because they know we can't live up to it either. And they're right. If I'm living in the tree of knowledge, the best that I can do is my own efforts towards righteousness. But if I'm living in the tree of life, then my heart has been transformed by the life of God. How does my life get transformed by the life of God? Through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, taking that Word of God and bringing it to my heart. And there I have genuine life. It's the Holy Spirit that's the life giver. It's not the letter, it's the Holy Spirit that's the life giver. Folks, it's a really simple proposition. Break up your fallow ground. Sow in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. It's a tree of life. How many believers get into this situation where they identify themselves according to certain things? For example, if a believer fails, sometimes they'll see themselves as a failure. If a believer has weaknesses, sometimes they'll see themselves as somehow being terrible or wicked. That believer is not terrible or wicked. They're just weak. How many people would say that a child is terrible or wicked because the child does not have the ability of an adult? Is that child terrible or wicked? No. That child is a child. If a believer is weak, it's not that the believer is wicked, it's that they are weak. Weakness is not wickedness. Yes, Satan can take advantage of weakness, but it's not the believer being wicked. But how often when that happens, we have a weakness in our life and we still haven't gotten to the point where we have victory, although we repent when we fail, we confess our sins to God and He's faithful and just to forgive our sins in 1 John 1:9. But how often, even though that person has confessed their sin to God, they still look down on themselves in their own heart? Well, so in righteousness. Not in condemnation, so in righteousness. Sow God's righteousness toward yourself. Do you get the difference? Sow God's righteousness toward yourself. Get rightly related to God. That doesn't mean get your act together. You can't get your act together. God has to transform your heart. What it means is receive from God to the point where you've been transformed by Him. Sow in righteousness, and you'll reap in mercy. Sow in righteousness, and you reap in mercy. How do I sow in righteousness? I run to the throne of grace. I do something, and I run to the throne of grace. I have a failure and I run to the throne of grace. I have a success, I have run to the throne of grace. I get up in the morning, I run to the throne of grace. I get in my car before I start the engine, I run to the throne of grace. And what happens? I get mercy. I get mercy. It's not on me, it's on God. I may be a train wreck, but I'm God's train wreck. It's not on me. See, this is what happens. Okay, this is what happens. We tend the tree. without tending the ground. You know, you can prune a tree all you like, but if the ground isn't properly nourished and watered, the tree is going to die. Don't worry about pruning the tree. Worry about nourishing the ground. And then you'll have a tree of life. Right? It's about the ground. It's not about the tree. What happened when Adam and Eve fell? They left the tree of life. They went to the tree of knowledge. And in the tree of knowledge, they met iniquity. What is iniquity? The root of iniquity is self-consciousness. Right? Pride. Self-consciousness is just another word for pride. We all have it. Don't feel like, well, I've been self-conscious, I'm evil. No, you've been self-conscious, you're human. I've been self-conscious, but it is iniquity. So what do I do with it? I receive from God. What did God do for Adam and Eve as they fell into self-consciousness? Adam, where are you? Don't hear you. Bye. See you later. I guess you're not here. He found them out. He sought them. He found them out. He sought them. He went after them. He went after them. And what did he do for them? He covered their self-consciousness. They say, God, we're uncovered. Okay, I'll cover you. This is what God does for the believer. God, I'm uncovered. Okay, I'll cover you. And he gave them a promise. He gave them a covering and he gave them a promise. And he promised them what had already been accomplished in eternity in Revelation 13:8. It was a tree of life. You know what he did by that? He brought them back to the tree of life. But now they could not stay at the physical tree of life. You know why? Why did they have to leave the garden? Because if they kept eating of the tree that gave everlasting life, they'd never get out of iniquity. So what happens to me in order to approach back into the tree of life? Because I have been born in sin. Sin was imputed to me. The moment I was conceived, sin was imputed to me. I have an old sin nature. How do I get back to the tree of life? Well, he had to slay the animals. And he covered them with the skins. Death brought them back to life. I was dead in trespasses and sins, but the death and the blood of Christ brought me back to life. So the believer who enters into this iniquity place of self-consciousness, whereby they're eating at the tree of knowledge, that believer needs to meet the cross. Not in an ascetic self-denial, but in the life of Christ in them as they pass from death unto life. They're in death before the cross, they're in life after the cross. This is how I break up this fallow ground. I sow in righteousness. I sow the finished work. I sow grace. I sow peace. I sow the love of God. I sow the cross. I sow the blood of the Lamb. And I reap mercy. It's about the ground. There is a ground that leads to the tree of life. And there is a ground that leads to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it's all about the ground. You see, where we get in trouble sometimes is we think it's about the tree. And so we tend the tree. And so we say to ourselves, I'm going to be kind, I'm going to be loving, I'm going to be gentle, I'm going to be compassionate, I'm going to be patient, good luck with that one. I'm going to be all these things. You know what the problem with that is? You're tending the tree, you're not tending the ground. How do I tend the ground? Sow in righteousness. Receive forgiveness, receive mercy, receive kindness. Receive from God. Let Him nourish you with His character. Meditate, dwell on His character. Don't beat yourself up over the head. That's tending the tree, and that's living. If you're tending the tree, you are already at the tree of knowledge. That's why you end up condemned half the time. You're already at the tree of knowledge, and that's all the tree of knowledge ever brought was condemnation. But the tree of life says there is no condemnation. The tree of life says you've been accepted in the Beloved just as you are. There is no condemnation. Mercy is already yours. But you got to tend the ground or you will not reap the mercy. This is how the fallow ground's broken up. In Luke 18:15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest heart, an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. How do I break up the ground? I keep the word. What does it mean to keep the word? To perform it? No! The word keep does not mean perform. What do? Somebody gives you a $10 bill and says, keep this. I perform a $10 bill. Have you ever had somebody give you something and say, keep this? Did they ask you to perform it or did they ask you to keep it? You hold it. You hold it. You hold it. You keep the word means you hold the word. You dig out for yourself cisterns and you hold the word. And you mix faith with what you hear so that it will profit you. The problem that sometimes believers run into is they'll hold the word but they won't mix faith. My frustration comes when I don't mix faith. And holding the word without mixing faith is far more frustrating than not even holding the word, because I know what I ought to experience, I know what I ought to be, and I can't get there. Well, how do I mix faith? Believe what God says about you. Actually start believing it. Well, I can't believe that. Then you're calling God a liar. So who's the liar? Well, now I'm a liar. Get away from the tree. Get away from the tree. We believers, we get into this religious thing where we just want to hug the tree. And it kills us. Get away from the tree. Start believing God and get away from the tree. Isn't that really what it's about? This is how you break up that ground. In Matthew 13, in verse 18, this is what he's talking about the ground. Hear therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches it away, that which was sown in his heart. When I understand, when I hear, but I have no capacity, I don't mix faith with it, when I don't have a practical grasp, the grasp that doesn't come from intellectualism, but from faith, then that which I heard is going to be taken away from me by the enemy. How many promises do we have? Right? 7,837 promises. And then we have the promises that God gives us through our own relationship with the Holy Spirit. God said every one of them is yea and amen. How many of them do we actually rest in? How often do we get anxious or nervous or frustrated? Why? We haven't picked up the promises. We're looking at the tree, but we're not nourishing the ground. I nourish the ground with the promises of God. I nourish the ground with fellowship in the body of Christ where the Holy Spirit is present. I nourish the ground with a sweet prayer life with my Savior. I nourish the ground by meditating on the things that He has said about me. What did He say about me? You are precious in my eyes, and I have loved you. That's what He said about you. I love you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I'll draw you. That's what He said about you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what He said about you. My mercies will endure forever. That's what He said about you. Your iniquities I will remember no more. That's what He said about you. You are as driven snow. That's what He said about you. Yet how many of us do not do that? How many of us look? And that look brings us right to the tree of knowledge. The tree of life is a tree of faith. Simply believing God for all that He has said about me. Believing His promises as to who I am. Believing His promises about His forgiveness. Believing His promises about being accepted. Believing His promises about His faithfulness. Believing His promises about prayer. Believing His promises about a call. Believing His promises. Do you think He was joking? Well, I don't think He was joking, but it's not really for me. Are you insane? Do you realize you just told God you're lying? Humility. Condemnation is an issue of pride. Humility says there is no condemnation. You see, you know why people get condemned? Because they think they should have done better. That's pride. But my Bible says, within me dwells no good thing. So how am I going to do better? Very simple. I let God conform me to His image through His Word and the Spirit of God. And it's not an issue of being doing better. It's an issue of being transformed. What do you do with a plant that is parched? You water it. Well, I get the Word of God. You may get the Word of God, but do you get the right Word of God? How many are there? In other words, you may get the Word of God, but do you get God's promises for your circumstance, for your life, for your situation? People are wrestling something and they simply read the Bible or they listen to messages that are very general. But that's not going to do you a whole lot of good. Like, if I need a heart transplant, I don't go to a general surgeon, do I? No, if I need a heart transplant, I go to a heart surgeon. If there's something going on in my life, I go to the promises that pertain to the things that go on in my life. And I meditate on them, and I masticate them, and I dwell on them, and I internalize the promises. and I believe them. I think that's where believers lose it. They're not actually believers. They're just Christians. You see, that Christian part, apart from belief, it's a tree of knowledge. It's a tree of knowledge. But the tree of life is a tree of faith. Simply believing what He said. Not exalting my thoughts above His thoughts in anything. But simply believing what He said. And I don't let my experience or my emotions or my thinking or my hurts or my victories or whatever it may be get ahead of His word towards me. God is greater than my experience. Because my experience is really an issue of emotions. Right? Isn't that really what it's about? The emotions. For example, one of the most difficult things I can think of. Somebody loses a loved one. Okay? One believer is distraught and hopeless. One believer is heartbroken but with great expectation and joy. Very different experience because it's about the emotions. This is why I don't rely on my experience to define anything for me. Because my experience changes with what I've eaten for dinner last night. My experience is meaningless. But when the Word of God becomes my experience, then I have a meaningful experience that's the life of God. Then I'm living at the tree of life. See, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. Right? Proverbs 11:30. So I sow in righteousness, and its fruit is the tree of life. I sow the finished work, I sow mercy, I sow compassion. It is the tree of life. When you apply the finished work, instead of trying to conform, and you allow it to transform, that's where you get the tree of life. Okay? That's where you get the peace that passes understanding. That's where you get the transformed life. Like we'd go downtown, I'll never forget, we'd go downtown in Bible college, in the bad parts of the city, the places where people get killed every night. They get killed so often there you don't even talk about it on news. And you get these little kids, they don't know who dad is, mom's in jail, grandmom's raising them. Sometimes grandma's got some problems. But the love of God transforms them. And I'll never forget, we had grandmoms tell us, you know, whatever the child's name is, was really struggling in school and was very unhappy and would fight a lot. And we had a lot of these stories. But when you guys started coming along and he started coming with you guys to Bible club, he became a straight A student. And he's a happy kid now. And they would look at us like, what happened? You know what happened? The tree of life happened. Something got put into the ground. And it came up as a tree of life. Right? The fruit of righteousness is the tree of life. The fruit of the finished work of Christ the fruit of grace, the fruit of kindness, the fruit of the love of God manifested toward a kid, transform that kid. Does the same thing for adults. Does the same thing for teenagers. And it's a transforming tree. It's in the ground. It's not in the tree. It's in the ground. But we keep tending the tree saying, I have to fix the tree. And the problem isn't the tree. The problem is the ground. Nourish the ground and you'll go from a tree of knowledge where you're trying to conform something into a tree of life that's a transformed life into the image of Christ, where there's a newness of life. And once you have that newness of life, you have life. Because on the back side of the cross was death. Right? We passed from death unto life. So you take that cross and you put it into the ground. You put that into somebody's heart. And they're a completely new creation. And that's your tree of life. Yeah?